Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I want to update the Deshaun Watson situation. So I think if you're going to try and get your discount, now's the time to do it. And I'll sort of lay out why. But I think now's the time to sort of press your chips in. If you want to make a Deshaun Watson deal, if you want to try and buy low on a supermax quarterback, do it now. And here's the reason why. So from personal experience, you know, I would come at this Deshaun Watson. If I was representing Deshaun Watson, I would come at it with a couple of premises. Okay, first of all, we kind of need to push back on the whole pervert thing. But after that, our goal is a couple of things. Deshaun Watson's a young man. He has a lot of money. And he has the ability to make a whole lot more money if he preserves his career and stays out of jail. Okay? So our goal, our long-term goal, is to preserve our earning ability and do it at the lowest cost possible. And do it without getting criminally charged. How do we do that? Well, so basically three things, right? Push back on the narrative. We're trying to keep ourselves, protect our long-term earnings and not do it at a ton of cost, right? And the ton of cost thing, honestly, is going to be the third priority, right? If I'm representing Watson, I'm like, listen, get the hell out of Dodge as fast as you can on this thing, put it behind you and move on. And it's worth the money. It's worth whatever you're going to have to pay. It's worth it to get it done with. Because any suspension that you have, any game check you have, listen, you're going to make this year a whole lot of money. And any game that you're suspended is going to cost you 1/16 of those game checks. I guess 1/17 now. With the new season, which begs the question of, I have to look into if actually the salaries are being adjusted or prorated or whatnot. But for example, guaranteed base salary this year, $10.54 million. He's got a prorated bonus, so basically, it's over $500,000 per game that he's going to get paid. And I'm not sure if they're extending that out to be over 17 games or not, how they're going to do that with the, because I know that the prior contract was basically, a 16 game regular season. I don't know what the 17 games, how it's going to work, but we'll just assume it's over a 16 week thing again. And, so if he's going to be subject to a 6-game suspension, to give you an idea, that's going to cost him $3.9 million. So let's figure out a way to do it for less. We've got basically $4 million to work with. And that's assuming a 6-game suspension. I'm assuming it's going to be a year suspension, right? Let's figure out a way, if we can sort of cut our losses really quickly, we can sort of knock that possibility out and potentially come back from this thing without a suspension. So how would I do that? Okay. How would I do that? Well, the first thing that I would do is I would push back, and that's what they did. A lot of times in an argument, whether it's in court, whether it's in real life, primacy is a big thing. Right, so primacy and recency. So the first thing you hear and the last thing you hear are the two biggest things. So we talk about that all the time in closing our and strategy, in trial preparation. And what you would do is try and shock value is not the right word, but memorable, impactful, right from the jump. Right, there's a really famous example of the Casey Anthony, who was this woman who, the Casey Anthony case, this woman who was alleged to have murdered her daughter in Florida, had gone out clubbing, all this stuff. She was like 20, 22, something like that. She was early 20s and had like a teen pregnancy. And the prosecutor started her opening with "Welcome to Orange County," which was, you know, the jury had been basically moved out of the former county where you know, it had to be a change of venue and all this stuff, and totally ceded the ground, which is a terrible strategy. I sort of look at this thing from a tactical perspective, and there was a drip, drip, drip against Watson that seemed like it, I'm not sure that the one person and then then all of them leaking out. I don't know if they had all of those in the bag. That if they did, it's probably not how I would have done it. But if they wanted to sort of increase their media cycle, I sort of get that too. But the prime, right, the primacy of this whole saga was been really negative against Deshaun Watson. So to sort of push back on that, you know, they pulled some legal maneuvering, you know, essentially forced the plaintiffs to, you know, give up their names, which is something that can kind of be tough to do in some of these cases. It's something that we, you know, I was for a year sort of between, took a little detour in my career, and then I was defending a lot of these types of cases, and it's tough to get the plaintiff, who's the person suing, it can be tough to get their name because they're protected by civil rights stuff, and then attorneys are trying to shield them and all this stuff. So it can be a huge pain. Watson was successful in getting their names, and then was successful, it looked like, in investigating some stuff initially early on. At least that's what they alleged. So there was a pretty aggressive pushback. Legally, you know, there's sparring, there's fist fighting going on between the attorneys and public. And then it stopped. And to me, that signals the next phase of this, which is, let's put this thing to bed. And I think the pushing back happened as a PR thing. I think the pushing back happened as a way to, you know, keep the NFL at bay, keep the cops at bay, keep the public at bay. And then it stopped. There hasn't been more bickering. There hasn't been more fist fighting and back and forth and press releases and press conferences and all that stuff. It's been relatively quiet. Well, what does that signal? Probably signals that there's something going on, right? It probably signals that, you know, this is a phase where you would begin discovery and there might be motions and all that sort of stuff. So the legal wrangling. But this is also a prime time for settlement negotiations. And if I was Watson's attorney, I would do it quickly. Because what can happen if you do it quickly is a couple of things. It's unclear to me at this point. I don't believe it's unclear to me at this point whether or not the plaintiffs or the victims in these lawsuits have talked to the NFL or the cops. That is unclear to me. There was some mixed reporting initially that they weren't going to, and then that they were, and now that they might not have. And it doesn't look like that they have, would sort of be my guess. And if that's true, and I'm Watson, I can wrap this thing up really quick, figure out a way to sort of, you know, listen, I'm going to lose money in this some way, shape, or form probably. Let's figure out the easiest way to cut our losses and move on. And it's a really crummy start to 2020, but listen, we got the whole second half of the year to recover, right? That's kind of what I'm trying to do. And I'm negotiating a settlement right now as quick as I can, and it's going to include a couple of things. It's going to include me paying these women money, maybe me even paying these women, some of these women money that I don't think deserve it, but I'm going to pay them the money. And as a part of that, what I'm also going to do is negotiate a non-disclosure agreement. And what that means is that they can't talk about the underlying facts, they can't talk about the settlement with anybody else outside of the parties. Why am I going to do that? Well, if I do that, I can prevent them from talking to the NFL. And if I prevent them from talking to the NFL, the NFL's got no way to suspend me. because there's not going to be a public admission that I did anything. And the settlement would essentially, you know, include no admission of wrongdoing. And he's not going to go into court and plead guilty or anything like that. He's just going to, you know, they're basically just going to withdraw the lawsuit, say it's been settled privately, and then it's done. And if there's a non-disclosure agreement attached to it, they're not going to be able to, you know, as part of that, they're not going to talk to the NFL, probably not going to talk to the cops, and that sort of protects him. So that's what I would do. Again, is it the most, is it something I would love to do for my day job? No, but if I'm sort of protecting his rights and protecting my client's long-term interest, and I was representing Deshaun Watson, we're gonna push back aggressively. We're gonna try and even some of the playing field in terms of the aggressive defense attorney tactics or the plaintiff tactics, and then we're gonna try and settle. And we're gonna do it quickly, and we're gonna figure out a way to get it done. We're gonna do it quickly, and that's gonna be in our long-term best interest. We don't want this playing out in public for months and years, because that's gonna be really bad. If I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna try and do it before minicamp, right? If I still want to get traded, that's all up in the air. But I want to try and do it early in the season, so that way I don't find myself on the NFI list. I don't find myself, you know, getting suspended or anything like that. And at least there's still time for my team to potentially negotiate a trade if that's what I want to do. So when would we look to do that? Right now. I'm not saying it's imminent. This is just kind of a best guess. I think it's probably, you know, if we're looking for it, I think, if my theory is right, we're looking at weeks, not months. And that would sort of be, that would be my goal. And with that, I think we have to act. I don't think the market's going to fall out significantly more. I think the market rebounds pretty quickly once there's a settlement. So I'll just go through some of the recent trades. You know, I gave 106 straight up. Teddy Bridgewater, Logan Thomas, and 111 for Watson. Sony Michelle Beckham, 304 and a future second for Watson. Watson and 106 for Lamar. That's a two-way go. I mean, that's a big-time two-way go. Watson and Hopkins for Justin Fields, Elijah Moore, and Robert Woods. I mean, that's a smash for me on the Watson side. Watson for a future first. Watson and Higgins for Aaron Jones, 106, 201, 206, and a future second. Derek Carr, 111 for Watson. Watson and Jamar Chase for Justin Fields in 202. Again, that's basically just, that's Justin Fields being worth more than Deshaun Watson. And I've seen that in multiple places, including my own trade. Those are out there and those are happening. Deshaun Watson and 104 for Kyler Murray. So, I mean, these are all things that are going on. These are all things that are happening. You know, if it's me, I'm being pretty aggressive on the go out and get him side. If it's in rookie drafts, I don't think you need to pay 101 for him. You know, but I do think like a mid first, honestly, like the absolute best case scenario is move down from 101, you know, get multiple future assets, whether that's, you know, two top six picks or, you know, if it's future capital, whatever, and then do a cascade off of that. I mean, that's a immense return. You know, 104 and, you know, 103 and 106 for 101 and 106 is Watson, right? That's a massive upside proposition. You know, I would go at it with packages. I would go at it with picks. Heck, I'd go at it with a future first. I would sort of figure out, you know, what the other person wants. And if it's going to be in the strata of, you know, something that you'd pay for a, you know, like a top 50 asset. I mean, I just think you got to do it. And I would act now, and I would act now. And I'd probably, even if you had trade discussions, in the past, you know, I have a trade, I have a draft coming up, and I've had discussions about Watson with the person that, that has Watson as recently as like a couple weeks ago. When I get on the clock, it's coming back at it. We're going to re-rack and I'm going to fire again because the pick value has gone up. You know, he's probably bottomed out. You know, he's at 306. He was at, you know, 202 a month ago. I just, again, maybe as we re-rack some more of these startup trades, startup drafts, he goes a little bit later. You know, kind of like Trey Lance is going at 407. Wilson's going at 408. Stafford's going at 502. And he's going 306 right now. That's just over the past month. And I'll just resort it here to get basically, you know, let's see if we can get the last like couple of weeks or so. There's been like 9 drafts since my birthday, which is in mid April. And just re-looking at it here, he is at, he's actually started to rebound a little bit. He's up to 305. So he's, which is only like a pick more than he was. So it is bottomed out. And I don't think it's going to get, and he's going right next to Fields. I think this is probably the cheapest you're going to get him. And I think it could rebound pretty rapidly. So if it's me, I'm striking now. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm going back and I'm going to readdress it in every league. Because I think that this is the time to do it. And I wouldn't want to get, you know, I wouldn't want to wait personally. So that's sort of the analysis, and that sort of is going to be a go-to for me in the next week here, is to act on this and to try and get out in front of a potential uptick. If we're wrong, again, I don't know how much more the floor falls out. I think people are baking in a year at this point. And, you know, you're seeing some egregious stuff. Someone told me today, oh, I traded him for 110 and I'm happy about it. I was like, okay, like go for it. 10-team league. Oh, that is not helpful. Like that, you're going the wrong way, but okay. You know, that's all stuff that I would, you know, there's probably lower sides of this, but that's all, those trades are even treating him cheaper than 305. You know, they're cheap. They're not top 30 returns in a startup. They're just not. So I think that attack it, you know, throw, he's a core asset. And even if you miss, right, if we're wrong, again, I still think the downside's a year. I think the downside is a year suspension. And, you know, are we counting on Trey Lance this year? Are we counting on Justin Fields this year? Are we counting on Mac Jones this year? Because those are the picks you're going to take in that range. You know, is that what you're worried about? You know, are you, you know, and then you can kind of come down a little bit and look at some of the guys in the range. Like, all right, Jalen Hurts, you know, you're basically betting Jalen Hurts is going a little bit later than him. But you're basically making like Jalen Hurts is going to significantly outkick Watson. And hold on to a job and all this stuff, or, you know, I that's just one to me where you like look at those profiles and it's like, all right, in a year from now, like Hurts could be in a lot of trouble and Watson could be on the mend, or, you know, coming off a late season rebound or whatever. Yeah, I think that those things could end in a drastically different arc in 12 months from now. So again, the thing that I would say is think about these trades, and, you know, it, in 3 years, in 5 years, are you going to look back and be like, man, I wish that I had the courage to do it, right? Or I wish that I had pulled the trigger. You know, I regret doing that. Which side are you going to regret in 5 years? And think about that. And I think that he's on the right side of those trades. So, most of the time. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.